Hello and welcome to the Optional Podcast, episode number 177 for the week of September 2nd, 2019. The Optional Podcast is a show all about the latest in video games and entertainment recorded each week from New York City and bounced around cables and satellites all around the world.
Some science shit, man.
And right into your listening device of choice. As always, I'm Paul Tamayo and I'm here with my co-host, Cam Brewster.
Headphones are weird.
A little weird, right?
A little weird.
Yeah.
Like, how can... I don't understand metals.
I still get, like, amazed by the fact that if I press a button,
yeah,
something happens immediately.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wizardry.
How this works.
Yeah, it had to be alien technology.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We must have stumbled upon something.
Come on, man.
In this early
headphones?
80s. How does it work? Bluetooth headphones?
One of the tall grays had, like, a Bose set. And you're just like, yo, copy that.
He had a pair of Beats. He was like, listen, I came to you, Dr. Dre, with this knowledge.
Yeah, dude.
What's good, man? Welcome back from your very well-earned vacation.
Yeah, man. I had a nice little trip out to the West Coast, California, Northern California.
All right.
I got scolded for saying San Fran.
Oh, yeah. You don't say that.
They don't play that, apparently.
Even SF, I think they get mad about.
Bro, shut the fuck up.
Chill out. Shut your San Fran ass up.
Shut your mellow asses up.
I
had a great time. The only weird thing I will say about SF... San Francisco, yay area, yay! I don't know.
yeah. It sounds good.
It sounds good enough. Is that they don't have like a fashion culture, really?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's really bizarre. Like they don't. Like, I went to a couple of sneaker stores out there just to see, like, you know, what the local shops were like, and it was very like run of the mill shit. But like even outside of that, there was nothing. Not like people didn't have any like real cool shoes. It was like kind of swagless. It was weird that they didn't have any like, I don't know, like fashion kind of like people. Even like, you know.
Like regular people?
Yeah.
Like just civilians? Like,
civilians weren't wearing any like.
Where's the C's?
There was no swagger.
Wow. SF. San Fran.
Swaggerless San Fran.
Wow. That's disappointing to hear.
I mean, nah, it was. I don't know if like maybe I didn't explore enough, but it was just like there was not a lot of like style.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like,
I mean, you're coming from New York, where it's like every other
LA has a there's a vibe there. There's a sneaker culture there, and it's like it's just weird. It was none of that like kind of urban stuff, is what I'm saying.
Oh,
like,
I got you. Yeah, that's interesting.
There's not a lot of streetwear,
That's weird. That is weird.
People had their own styles, of course, but I mean, like, streetwear-wise.
Yeah,
none. There was no that. And I went to a lot of different neighborhoods, man.
Yeah.
But it was cool, man. It was a great trip.
It looked good.
I got to go north of San Fran, which was cool. We got to go to the mountains. I got to hang out in San Jose. That was, like, right outside of San Jose. It was really dope. Man, I want to go back. I can't wait.
That's awesome, man.
A week was too short.
Right in our time. L.A. versus... San Fran.
I like the West Coast, period. Sorry, pop my peas, but I like the West Coast, period. But I don't know. I kind of fell in love with the northern part from what I saw, you know? Also,
yeah.
I had on vacation goggles, so...
That's true. That does really influence.
Yeah.
You're like, wow.
Because I like L.A. a lot. It's just that, like, I feel like driving is just a little bit better in Northern California.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
it's just as much traffic. It's just that the way it's presented to you.
I think also that climate is more my speed, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's, like, dry, and it's cold, and it's hot at the same time.
And you get some fog.
The fog's name is Carl.
Oh, okay.
Nah. It's not okay. Y'all need to chill with that shit.
That is kind of weird.
Weird. Why Carl? Now, we did look it up. Me and Nate looked it up. Shout out to homie Nate.
Hey, shout out to Nate.
Yeah, we looked it up, and it was, like, from a movie, but, like, that was only, like, 20 years old. So
that's
I'm like,
weird.
The fog's been there, though.
You're just going to stick with that, huh? That's cool, though, man. Yeah, I mean, I went years ago,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of just stayed in San Francisco. We didn't really explore much of, like, North or whatever and, like, do our due diligence in that sense, but... yeah, it's a cool city, man. And I think it, like, people... I mean, there's definitely, like, the you can sense the tech bubble presence there.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, everywhere.
Yeah. They don't try to hide it at all.
No, yeah. But it's a dope city, man. And I've heard good things about, like, you know, the Bay Area in general. So.
Yeah, the Bay's cool. Oakland was cool. It was different. Not what I was expecting, but it was cool. Like, to get to just to see it, you know?
Yeah.
I wish I can get to explore, maybe... if anybody knows anybody from Oakland that can show me around next time I go, that'll be dope.
Word.
But yeah, man, I'm back, and I've been playing video games.
Video games, I've heard of those.
Well, I've been playing video game for the week that I've been away.
Yeah, which one?
I downloaded this game called Forager.
Oh, it's such a good game.
Yeah, it's dope.
Sorry, I'm blowing my nose.
No, it's okay. And I guess it had been out for PC for a little while this year, and it recently just came out on Switch.
It's perfect for the Switch.
It's perfect game for the Switch. It controls really well. So basically, it's an open world like adventure game, and you play as this little dude, and the game basically just lets you go. Like, it just doesn't really tell you anything, which I think is genius, because it gives you like a menu, and it says build a furnace.
Yeah.
And then you're like, all right, how do I build a furnace? I have a pickaxe.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just like start pickaxing these trees and these rocks and see what happens. And you get these materials, and then sure enough, the furnace will pop up because you have enough materials now. You build a furnace. Now the furnace can make other things. So it's like, I'll put these iron in here and it'll make coal or whatever, you know, like it just builds out, but it doesn't tell you anything,
which
I love. And
that's interesting.
It's a very good tutorial. Like, I haven't played a tutorial where I was like, immediately, it just very intuitive, and it just gets you going. Like,
yeah, because like when you unlock, from what I remember, I played it on the PC a long time ago. But from what I remember, like when you do the furnace, you just get new options in your menu. So it's up to you to just like figure it out.
Yeah, it's just figure it out, and it's like, well, now like, and then it has like a skill tree. So every time you like level up by building new things or like just mining. Or killing objects. So there's little enemies along the way, and you can make swords and stuff. But there's a skill tree that you can use those points every time you level up to put towards. So you like unlock a new skill, and then so it'll be like, all right, well, now the furnace builds stuff 2 times faster, and you put that in. Now like more skills pop up, and you're like, oh shit! Now you're looking at the skill, and you're like, oh, you can do this, this, and this. So like, I can build weapons now. I can build iron weapons. I can build gold weapons. I can bake bread now. Like, it's weird, and you're like, how do I even get bread?
Yeah,
and you're like, all right, I'll put it off to the side, and then next thing you know, there's wheat growing.
Wheat, bro.
Yeah, it's like, oh, now there's wheat, but how do I turn that into bread? And then down the line, you'll see an icon for making a mill, like a little windmill that can, you know, make flour. And then you're like, oh shit. And it's just like that. And it's very addicting because you're always doing something.
It also starts off like on islands, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's the other component to it. So you get to make money or you collect money by just doing random things or selling stuff. And you can put that money towards buying the surrounding island. So they have like spaces. So you just start off on a little square island. And then to the north, south, east, or west, you can either buy, and it'll tell you how much each island will cost.
Yeah.
And it's randomly generated, I guess. And you put it down, you buy it, and maybe there's a cave there, or maybe there's a puzzle there, and you're like, what is this place? And the same things you can do. So you can like plant crops there, you can still kill enemies, you can collect bugs, and you can do these different things on these islands, and you kind of make it your home. Like, you're just building this thing, and you're foraging. And it's amazing. It's just the cutest little game.
Oh, it's so good.
It's really cool. The dungeons are really cool. The puzzles are, like, decent. And, like, I don't know. It's just very well put together. You can just tell people, like, they just understood. Like, this is, like, the game.
Yeah.
It's gaming the game, you know? Yeah. It teaches you very, like, basic skills about gaming, but, like, in a very smart way, I think. I think a lot of people, different people who are into different types of games will enjoy this game, you know?
Yeah, it definitely like reminds you of the progression you get when you're playing something like Minecraft, where you're like, it starts off really like it can kind of be frustrating in a way, but like then the moment you start unlocking things, you're like, oh my god, I'm a genius.
Yeah
I love that.
No, it is, it's really cool because you're like, how do I get leather?
I
don't know how to get leather, and then out of nowhere a cow will just be on one of your islands.
You're like, oh, you're now like, I know how to get
now
leather.
I gotta kill that motherfucker. And then you go kill him, and then a little piece of leather drops.
There you go.
And then you're, like, using that to build new backpacks, to get more space, or...
Oh, I love that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, it's just one of those games that, like, it's a lot of busy work, and, you know, that's our shit. So, I'm really into that aspect of it, just, like, just doing the chores. And it took, like, I played for pretty much 5 hours straight on the plane.
Damn. Yeah. That's a perfect playing
game. It is a great playing game, because you're just constantly doing stuff. And this game doesn't kill your battery at all. which is phenomenal. I don't know. I'm just like enjoying the hell out of it, and I'm nice. Surprised that like it didn't come out for Switch like right off the jump.
Yeah. Oh shoot, that was hot. Yeah, I feel like that kind of, for me at least, from a perception standpoint, I remember like when I first, it was the same thing happened with Moonlighter, where I first played it on PC, and I was like, man, I wish it would have came out on Switch as well. And I think the staggered releases, in my opinion, kind of hurt it.
Yeah.
And in some ways, you could argue like, oh, playing it up front, and you know you planted it in your head, like for you, you know, down the road I'll get it on Switch. But I think the impulse buy aspect is way stronger if they both come out at the same time.
Yeah.
And maybe you play a demo on PC and you're like, oh, this would be a better Switch game. But yeah, Forager is such a slept on game that like, man, I had a really good time with it. It makes me want to actually kind of get back into that game.
I definitely like want to just keep playing and just see what happens, man. Like, I'm sure there's like an ending, but I haven't gotten there yet. But
that's dope, man.
I'm probably like 10, 15 hours in.
Okay, cool. Right. Yeah, I can't imagine that game getting too long. No. But I it would be a nice surprise if it did get kind of weird and like next thing you know, you're like 80 hours in.
Yeah, word.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's dope. So I've been playing sort of a similar game in that vein. I don't think I've talked about it last time. I don't know if I was able to, but there's a game that came out in early access called Ancestors, and it's by the person who originally created the Assassin's Creed series. So he's got some pedigree. He's got some bangers under his belt for mm-hmm. sure. He's got like a brain made for games. And Ancestors, I'm not sure if you've heard of Ancestors, but
I have.
Yeah, it's an open world survival game basically that kind of aims to simulate to a degree what it must have been like for, you know, our ancestors to evolve to a place where they got to, you know, the, you know, to be who we are today. But I don't think it gets that far. I think Steven told me that like it gets to
the missing link or something.
Yeah, before we discovered fire, for example. So you start off as like I don't know what species it is, and I'm not gonna sound,
it's just an ape.
Yeah, you're like an ape basically. Yeah. But you start off as a baby, and the person that you were with who was taking care of you, they get killed. And you have to like, go, you know, you go and you hide somewhere, and then it sort of teleports you into the body of another ape. And then it's up to you to go find that baby that you just were, pick them up. And then the basic crux of the game is you walking around and inspecting things, learning about them, and then you and finding new ways to learn how to use these tools, but also learn what to eat, what's healthy, what's not, what can sort of heal you if you're bleeding. It's a pure survival game in like the purest sense. But you do these things by sort of analyzing your surroundings. So you, I think with the Y button, I think that's your intelligence. I think it also mimics like the parts of your body, which I didn't understand until Steven pointed out. We had a video that went up on the site. Check it out if you're curious about this game. And it's your intelligence button or whatever. So you scan the area and you're like looking at things, and you can mark things on the map that you want to go investigate. Yeah. X is your senses, so it'll be like your smell, your hearing. You can isolate like where there might be predators in the grass, or where there might be snakes or whatever. And I think, I forget, A is just the stands, like your legs, so you can stand up to get a better view of something or whatever. And I forget what the hell B was. But yeah, basically you're just like walking around but the game, at the very start of the game, it tells you like, yeah, this is like, you know, millions of years in the past. And the game is not going to go out of its way at all to help you. Like, we're not going to help you at all. I think it literally says that in the opening screen. And that is kind of the main point of the game, is for you to stumble, you know, you get attacked by a boar and you're bleeding, and then you have to like climb up into the trees, and the game doesn't tell you how to heal yourself. So you're like, all right, how do I stop the bleeding? Or you eat a mushroom and you're poisoned. How do I get this out of my system? So it's you going to like a little river. You know, you drink some water, it kind of flushes it out of your system. Or if you're bleeding, for example, you like find something in the trees that will help you, mm-hmm. you know, heal it, patch yourself up. And the game like around every corner fights you, and it makes you want to kind of rip your hair out and like in ways that you're like, man. And that's the point. The point is to like keep failing. And in some cases you die, and then you like teleport yourself into the body of another ape. Mm-hmm. And if you run out of people in your little like pack or whatever, then you start over basically from the beginning. So like that baby that you originally rescued or whatever, they'll find somewhere else to hide, and then someone else will find you from another group. And then it sort of continues in that way. The cool thing is like, you know, of course it's 2019, there's a skill tree in this game, so you open up the skill tree menu and you're unlocking abilities like things that once took you a while to do, like scanning things individually, will now sort of, you can scan the area and get multiple things at once. Like, so it kind of like makes things easier over time.
Can I ask you if, so like if you are an ape and you play maybe like 2 hours with that one ape and then you get sick and die, you get transported to another ape, do you start fresh, or is it like, do you get that skill, those skills that you already learned?
I think you retain the skills.
Okay.
And there are ways to,
so it's like tribal learning, whatever.
Yeah. And you can even like, so the important part of it too that I didn't realize until Steven pointed it out to me was that you have to have the babies with you, like on your chest and on your back while you do things, so that I guess they're learning as well.
Smart.
Eventually you can get to a place where you can choose, like if you feel like you've kind of done enough, you can choose to like evolve or at least get to the next generation or whatever. So the baby that you saved eventually becomes the adult, and then you have new babies in the group, and you can keep doing that as you move forward, and you can retain skills that you've unlocked for the next generation. So they kind of like literally get passed down generation. So it's like, there's a lot of like really brilliant stuff in the game. But as a game, it's really rough. Like, it's not fun.
It looks not.
Oh man, even the movement sometimes, like it's very Assassin's Creed in the way that you like, you hold A to run, and then you, like he automatically climbs things and swings off things. If you jump, you hold A, like you have to pray that he latches onto a branch or whatever. So there are moments where you're like, man, you're trying to run away from like a lion or whatever, or one of the big cats, and you're like grabbing onto rocks that are jutting from the ground, or like you're grabbing onto the base of a tree when you didn't mean to. So it's like really frustrating. Luke actually on the site put up a review and kind of like didn't really enjoy it, and he spent tons of time with it, and I only spent a couple of hours with it and I wasn't really enjoying it. But seeing Steven play it and show me these things about the game, I could see him teasing out the way more interesting aspects of it. But in its current state for me, I was like, this is kind of a pass, because I'd rather put my time into other things that are like just immediately fun up front.
Do you think this game can benefit from like a light tutorial?
I think so.
Or do you think this was intentional so you can have interactions like you and Steven had?
It's
where it's like, yo, did you do this?
Yeah.
Did you know this?
Yeah.
Like, because I think that could also be cool if it was intentional, you know? Like,
yeah.
We want this to be a community game because it's like, that is the tribal kind of learning. It's like this that, weird.
Yeah. That's actually a great point. I think it's definitely intentional. Like, I think he's even said it in a couple of interviews that like, yeah, like the point is to struggle with it. And then, you know, when you make those discoveries, they do feel really cool. Mm-hmm. Like when I figured out how to stop the bleeding, I was like, oh shit, that's awesome. But I do think that it definitely benefits. I mean, I think now, especially like if you were to play it now, you have online resources to check and read up on them. But when we were playing them, we were just like talking to each other, like, how the fuck do you do this? So yeah, I think it would benefit from like a lighter, or at least a more aggressive, like hand holdy nature to it. But I do think it would kind of rob it from a little bit of the actual intent. Yeah. I don't know. So like when I first played, even playing the few hours that I played of it, I originally came away from it like, yeah, I'll play this when it's like, you know, when the game itself evolves down the road to like something a little stronger that I could like justify pouring the time into it. And I'm actually glad I chose that route, because after reading Luke's review, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm glad I decided to not stick with this game, because like, I don't know, I think it could be something special and something really important, but as it is right now, I think it's a really solid idea, but I don't think it's like quite there yet. Because I mean, it's a game, for me at least, it needs to have some sort of fun factor in it. Like if because then you lose me, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like you kind of lose me over time, and I'm like, I'm looking at, you know, control in the corner of my eye, and I'm like, oh, I'd rather kind of play that right
Can't
now.
Can't wait to get to that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, besides that, I also played another extremely difficult game for other reasons called Creature in the Well, which I was super excited about.
Pinball game, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a really cool idea. It's a mashup of a dungeon crawler and a pinball game. So you are basically controlling this robot called Bot C, who wakes up during a sandstorm, and you're trying to like restore power to this giant facility that has been sort of abandoned and taken over by this giant creature in the well, the titular name. And in the process, you're going from room to room. I'm stuck on my mask here.
Got a hospital mask on.
Yeah, I'm super congested today. Sorry for the listeners, but Yeah, you are. So then each room itself is like a tiny little section of a larger pinball machine. So you're like, each room itself, it can be a mixture of like, you know, fighting different turrets and cannons and like bumpers. Some are just like pure bumper, like giveaway gimme things. Other ones are a little bit more intricate, where like they're moving parts that can kill you with like trippable mines. It basically feels like a mixture of like baseball, pinball, racquetball, hockey sometimes, because you're trying to protect the ball from going behind you so that it doesn't trip some bumpers that'll reset a puzzle. Or you're like, you know, fighting the creature eventually in each of the dungeons. I think there's 8 total. In the dungeons, you're going and, you know, you're unlocking the rooms one by one until you finally are able to encounter the creature. And then you fight him. And it's a mixture of, like, fighting him but also dodging his attacks that are usually projectiles. And you're, like, you know, hitting a ball. So I failed to mention, too, like, right at the top of the game, you have the ability to swing like a bat, or like a strike, I think it's called a strike item or something like that. And they come in all different forms. It's like a pipe, a pen, a bat, and then you have a charge item, which can be like a sword, or there's like a key, there's like a fan blade or whatever. They all have different properties. So like the fan blade one, if you hold it down when there's a ball in your, like, in your area, you'll charge it up and you'll like, you'll suck it up and you can tee it up in front of you so you can hit it. But sometimes those balls, they'll go over like a specific enemy's projectile or whatever. Yeah. They'll convert to like a projectile that'll harm you. So if you have the fan blade equipped, you can absorb that energy and then convert it into health for you, which is really, really helpful. So they all have different properties and they're all really useful. One strike weapon, for example, as soon as I unlocked it, it kind of like made the game so much easier. When you hit one ball, it breaks off into 3, and then it like, excuse me, keeping this all in there for the listeners.
Yeah, fuck it, I gotta know the pain. Get you this content.
When you hit the ball, it breaks off into 3 balls, but then those 2 extra balls, they'll disappear, they don't bounce back, but the original one does come back.
Gotcha.
So it's really helpful for like getting those sort of like Contra style like blast towards enemies that you know you're not gonna miss. And I started off like really, really enjoying it. Like it has such a cool art style, like a really comic book style art style. I was playing it on my Switch, and I liked the story. The story was vague enough that I could follow it, and it's not anything too complicated. And the character I thought was really cute and endearing. Like the creatures in the world I thought were cool. And but then I started encountering like moments. So like eventually you'll unlock the dungeons like multiple at a time, and you can go at them in any order. And I went to one in particular that was like extremely difficult, and like each dungeon is difficult in its own right. But this game, sometimes I did a whole video about it, about how it's like, I think I named it like, it's a sadistic mix of dungeon crawling and pinball or something like that. And I stand by that. It's super difficult, to the point where I had a couple questions, and I like emailed a developer like, hey, how do I do this, or am I doing this right? And they were like, to their credit, they were like pretty chill about it. They like gave me a couple like helpful hints and stuff, because I really wanted to like, I wanted to love this game. And I want to be fair, like I do really like this game, but in the video I also say like, just be warned, it's very difficult, to the point where like there were some rooms with puzzles that like when you failed them, the punishment for failing felt like extra cruel, where you're like, oh man, I gotta do this all over again. Like really, even when you die before you get to the boss. This isn't too difficult, but it was more of like an annoyance than anything, where you like, you start off outside, you heal back up, and you run back into the dungeon, and you have to like go through each room again to get to where you died. And you know, each room is already unlocked, so you don't have to do the puzzles again, but still the little like, you know, 30 seconds it takes to get back to where you are isn't that big of a deal.
So it's like a rogue.
Yeah, but when you're doing it like for the 9th time, you're like, oh god, like yeah, like it's easy to just put it down and move on to something else, which I did a couple times actually. And they were in the Discord too. I was like kind of voicing my frustrations live. Like everyone got a chance to like see my sort of thought process live as it happened.
I love this.
Yeah, I was
fuck
like,
this game.
Yeah, 100%. I was like, oh, man, this game rules. And then I was like, wait a minute, this game is really hard. And then I decided to like leave that dungeon I was having a hard time with. I went to another one and I got some items, and that made it a lot easier to tackle the one I was having problems with. It was still really hard, but I'd picked up some new things along the way that made it easier. But Yeah, I feel like if you, I still think it's really cool. I think it's a really cool concept, and I actually really wound up enjoying the game. But even the final boss battles were like, oh my god, this is super like difficult. And you know, I equated it to like Sekiro or like Celeste, which are two games that I really really love. But in this game, sometimes it felt like the,
what is this on again?
It's on Switch, Xbox One, and PC.
What are you playing?
Switch.
Okay.
And
how's the controls?
It's pretty good. I didn't love playing it with the Joy-Cons because I feel like the range of like angle in which you could move the left thumbstick wasn't as, you know, wide as the Pro Controller, which felt great. But it never felt distracting or anything. But I really like the game. I do think though that like, it comes with a really strong warning that like, hey, if you're not really into that kind of thing, then it's probably gonna kick your ass.
And you want to skip it.
Yeah, maybe get it on sale or something one day. Yeah, but like, or if you're up to the challenge, like. Fuck it, go for it.
Sorry for the rumbling.
That's all good. And then I started playing Control.
Ooh, that's what I want to hear about.
The new game from Remedy. Because I've been hearing nothing but great things about it from, like, you know, on Twitter and on the site even. Like, Ethan had a really good review on Kotaku for Control. I must say Creature. And, man, it's really fucking cool. To be fair, though, I only played it on, like, I think it was Thursday night or Friday night, and then I was away for the weekend. I was like back home visiting my family and stuff, so I'm only like 2 or 3 hours in, but I made the conscious decision to buy it on my PC because I heard that console versions of the game were having like performance issues.
Yeah, I heard that like the base level console is just not the way to go.
It's definitely like a next gen game. It just happens to be on like current gen consoles, because even like on my PC, I was joking about it in the Discord, even on my PC, like when you hit like, you know, default settings, like because the games will usually be like, oh, based on your hardware, like we recommend you play on Ultra, and I'm always like, all right, cool, I got a beast. But this is the first time a game was like, you're gonna play it on medium. You're gonna sit your ass down. You're gonna
take this fucking default.
Yeah. You're gonna take this low shadow quality. You're gonna watch this shit. Yeah,
get this Reggie.
Yeah, yeah. So I still want to tweak with the settings a bit, because I think Mo was telling me that he tweaked with it a little bit and was able to bump up a couple things. So I might want to do that here and there. But I also made the decision to not play mouse and keyboard, because I feel like it felt pretty good on mouse and keyboard. But I don't know, man. I think like I'm slowly becoming... It's gonna sound blasphemous, but like, I just like playing games with a controller in my hand, and I think that like, don't judge me. God's working on all of us,
bruh.
It feels good.
I mean, fuck them nerds in your DMs.
Yeah,
whatever's more comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, even like when I was playing Apex, I was like, man, I want to play this on a controller, and I was just playing on a controller, and I was. So here's the thing: is like, in Battlefield, it's weird. I have like, it's a case by case basis,
right?
But Battlefield 5, I'm a beast on mouse and keyboard, but. With Apex, for whatever reason, like, on controller, I was way better. I was way more effective. So it's like, do you want me to, you know, play with a mouse and keyboard, or do you want me to be good?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So in this case with Control, I was like, yeah, let me just stick with the controller, and it felt really good. Wow, that was there's some bars in there.
Yeah, I heard it. I was like,
I thought about it. I was let me finish
that thought.
But yeah, so I mean, by now I'm sure everyone's heard about this game or even beaten it. So a couple people in the Discord have beaten it by now. One second, sorry, I'm gonna be gross. Cam only knows what's happening right now.
Yeah.
but yeah, I know a couple people have beaten it in the Discord, and so it's basically like it's a third person shooter with some really cool like Metroid style elements to it, where you're like exploring this really cool brutalist design of an office, like a giant federal office building. With really interesting like sci-fi you know, scenery and things happening that are like, you know, very supernatural, and like there's even like things you come across where you collect videos and they're like live action actors talking to the camera. So it's a really cool it almost feels like a Twilight Zone episode mixed in with like a Max Payne,
mixed in with some X-Files or some shit.
Yeah, mixed in with X-Files, and like, yeah, exactly, like it hits that tone so well. And the shooting feels, I mean, it's incredible. You have a mixture of like these, you know, psychic abilities where you can like, you know, shoot shit at people. Like you can grab a fire hydrant or whatever and like chuck it at somebody. It looks incredible. And it plays with the world and geometry in ways that were like, I'm just now hit like scratching the surface. But there are moments that kind of remind you of like that Eternal Darkness type shit where you're like, it's playing with like,
fucking with me.
Yeah, like you hit a light switch or whatever, and then you're like in another place, like you're in a hotel or some shit. Like it's fucking weird.
Yeah,
actually, like I think Heather made the connection to like, have you played Max Payne 1 and 2?
I own 2. I played 1 though.
Okay,
like, yeah,
I forget which one it was that has like the baby the crying level where you're like walking along that like blood red line or that red blood line.
That's probably one.
It might be one. Yeah.
It might be one.
But like that game had moments.
I remember
where,
two a lot, but
yeah, I think they both had some sort of like weird elements to them. But I remember there was one level where you're like walking in the dark and you're like walking along this bloodline and you're like, it's really trippy. Like it's clearly like his dreams or his nightmares or whatever. And that's this game, but like it's happening. It's like happening around you. And, it's got a really compelling narrative so far from what I can tell. But again, I haven't gotten that far into it, but like I've been hearing people in the Discord too talk about how difficult it gets, which I'm not looking forward to after having talked about.
And you can't fuck around with difficulty?
I think you can. I, from what I remember, I think you can. But
and if it gets there, just bump that bitch down.
Yeah, oh yeah, you know I'm not
bump
opposed
that shit,
to that.
Shit down, and when the credits go up, just bump it back up.
Yeah. Get the credit. You get that. Get credit for all that shit.
Get that achievement.
No, but so far it's really good. I mean, and it looks gorgeous. Like yeah, even on the medium settings or whatever that I'm playing it on, it's like it runs at a solid 60 for me. At least thankfully.
Yeah,
and it looks really really good.
Let me tell you, like this game was like on my like not even on my radar, but it was on my like do not playlist.
Oh really?
Because I don't really care for their games that much. Like I liked Alan Wake. Like
I didn't play Alan Wake.
I liked that game, and then I like Max Payne of course, but like what was the one in between this one, the last one they did? It was definitely this gen. You know what I'm talking about? It had, like, the guy who was in...
Quantum Break.
Yeah, it had the guy, Catelyn Tully. That guy from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just didn't...
Littlefinger.
Do it. Yeah, Littlefingers. that didn't really do it for me. So I was just like, eh, I'm good. And it looked it looks very similar.
It looks super similar, yeah.
So I was like, eh, I'm good, man. I'm good.
Yeah, I was on the kind of on the fence too. Like before it came out, I was like, "Oh, if it's good, maybe I'll check it out like on sale one day."
I was very surprised at the reviews, man.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
What?
Yeah.
Everybody loves this game.
So the first one I saw was Ethan's review, and I was like, "Oh shit, this is good! Like this is like, is it this good?" And then everyone started coming out when it was like 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10, all that shit. Yeah. I was like, "Damn!"
I was listening to Rob Zachney from Waypoint. He was talking about it, and I was like, "All right, you're selling this."
Yeah, Rob Zachney, the God.
Yeah. He's just selling it to me. I was like, "Damn, man."
Yeah, man.
I was wrong. Sorry, Remedy.
No, man, it's definitely them, like back, like with a vengeance.
Yeah, that's cool. And I'm glad they got a hit.
And I've even been watching, like, I mean, I love watching the like Digital Foundry videos.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I'll never have the gear that they're like, yeah, we're running on like 2080 with fucking.
It looks so good.
Yeah. Oh my word, it looks so good.
He sounds like what's the dude, Robin Leach? Up Close Personal
people? yeah. No, yes, imagine they have that, like they just like the most expensive rigs. I was watching the ones like the ray tracing and shit, and I was like, yo, I mean, ray tracing, you hear it all the time, it's like this buzzword, like it's definitely this generation's like blast processing.
But wait until like the plebs get ray tracing, you're gonna be talking about it too, because it's like a game changer.
It really is.
Remember we watched that video of like they were doing ray tracing in Minecraft?
Yo, bro. Come on, man. Even my dryer,
your dryer
agrees,
was
bro.
Like yes.
He was like yeah. Yeah. No. I was watching the I was watching the control video where they were breaking it down. They're like, yeah, like the way the color like influences the objects around it and the reflection. It's more than just the reflections. It's like even there's a moment where they showed like a little intercom thing on the wall, and you could see her reflection in the tiny screen. And there was like the coffee pot. You could see the reflection of the newspaper, and you could read the newspaper. I was like, yo, this is incredible.
I don't understand. Like again, I don't understand metals and like science shit. Like how are people designing this thing that can be implemented into different games and working?
Yeah,
similarly, you
it's
know?
Wild, man.
It's not like they're doing individual assets. They're like. It just kind of like does it.
yeah, and there's like ones and zeros. Like how is this happening?
How's it figuring it out?
My God,
we're definitely in a simulation. It's gonna happen, man.
Oh yeah, one day I'm gonna find like it's gonna fuck up, and I'm gonna see the reflection fuck up. I'm like, wait a minute, I knew it.
They're gonna fucking
But Control so far from what I want to play some more tonight, so I can like hopefully keep chipping away at
cool.
I'm loving that game. And then I got a code. Shout out to Jason. I got a code from. Because we were talking about like coverage for Final Fantasy VIII, which we got codes from Square, and I was like, I know, I think Tim, he's leading coverage on Final Fantasy because he's the Final Fantasy guy in the office.
He sounds like the guy
that would run that. Definitely. That's his beat and I, you know, whatever. So I was like, oh, he threw it out like, hey, who would want codes or whatever? And I was like, oh, if there's one floating around, I'll take one. Because Final Fantasy VIII was the first Final Fantasy that I'd ever gotten as a gift I was a kid. So I have this relationship to it. I think it came out when I was turning. Probably it came out in 99.
8 or 9, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like 10 or 11.
Really?
Yeah. It came out February 1999. I looked it up before.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because I'm thinking Final Fantasy VII, that's why.
Yeah, yeah. So I got it for my birthday. I didn't know how that... I never played an RPG before, at least like a Japanese RPG. And as a kid, I loved the cinematics and the battles and stuff were cool, but like I never really got far into it because my brain just couldn't grasp the intricacies of like... the card battling system, or like how the hell to apply, like, I don't know, like your GF's abilities to, it was too complex for me at the time, so I never really finished it. Yeah. And so this is like 20 years later, me as like a, you know, more apt game liker, I have it on Switch now. I got it on Switch and I've been playing it again. And at least the first 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours, and this is like a recurring theme for me, playing the first 2 or 3 hours of a game, it's really good. I've actually having like a really good time with it.
That game is super underrated.
Yeah.
Like just what it was doing in the background, like their like in-game cinematics,
like
fucking amazing.
Like the way they would transition into the cutscene.
Yeah, the cutscenes would just like walk off screen. I'm like, wait, hold up, I thought it was still like.
Yeah, you could still like move around while shit was happening. Like, what the hell is this? Kind of black magic? Is
really cool stuff going on in that game.
Yeah, so like, I'm still like doing the first few battles and stuff, but even then, like, oh, and thank God, it has the same thing that the other Final Fantasy ports have had, and this one feels like a way better. Remaster, except even like the character models feel way better. Mm-hmm. They look sharper. But it has the 3x speed.
I like that.
So when you're battling, you just hit it and you just like, it's super fast. You can just go right through stuff, especially if you're waiting for your thing to recharge, and like it feels really solid. The music is so good. The cinematics still like they look a little dated by now, but they still look so cool. It's funny, like this past weekend, this Labor Day weekend, I was at the beach yesterday and I was like, you know, on the shore, like watching the waves come in. And I was like, oh man, this reminds me of Final Fantasy VIII. I was like, I could hear the choir in my head. Yeah. Like, so far I'm really, really liking it. I definitely want to keep playing it, and hopefully maybe I was thinking maybe even like streaming it, maybe doing some like video capture, maybe doing something like more personal about like how my journey. I'm already like envisioning having these epiphanies that I didn't have as a kid and being like, oh, whoa, like, it's really cool to revisit this game that I like. I loved as a kid, but I definitely like butted up against like I had some really huge hurdles that I couldn't get over just mentally. So it's gonna be kind of cool to really try to. And I have more of an impetus here to finish this one than I do with 9, because I have more of a history with it. So I'm like, I really, really want to try it out and finish it and you know, put another Final Fantasy hopefully under my belt. Yeah, but. That's besides cool. that,
when's it come out?
I think it comes out this week. I think it comes out, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, I think it's out now.
Okay,
I think it comes out on Tuesday. But and then on Friday, like a fool, I went out to the city because I was like, I took a day off on Friday, and I met with my girlfriend in the city. We went to have lunch, actually in Madison Square Park, except that's where we like kind of first started. Like when we were dating, we kind of like hung out there a lot, and then. They have this like Sony Experience thing, like in the I guess the northeast, or like I guess like in the east part of the park, like across the street from the park, and they had like rotating exhibits and stuff, and like we were like, let's just go in there, and we went in there and then we watched like these people playing like a VR thing for like The Last Guardian, and I was like, I for the past few weeks I've had this struggle, and I'm glad I have an outlet here on my show to talk about this. But the past few weeks I've been like watching all the coverage come out for the Switch Lite, and I'm like, oh, it looks so cute. But I keep thinking like, damn, like I don't need it. Like I don't need it as I want it. I definitely want it, but I was like, I don't need it. Yeah. I already have a perfectly fine working Switch. It actually works better for what I need for a day-to-day capacity. I think having a Switch Lite will complicate things if like, you know, I'm trying to transfer over a save or capture things.
Right.
So I canceled my pre-order.
Nice.
I still have the fucking micro SD card. I might just give it to my girlfriend because I think she has like a 64 gig. And I was like, yo, you want to go to Best Buy? And that usually means like
I'm buying some shit.
I'm about to impulse buy the fuck out of something. So I went and I bought an Oculus Rift S.
Hell yeah.
Because that's another thing that I've been thinking about for a while now. Like, I've been talking about it on the show, on the Discord, of like something that I've been wanting to get for a while. I think last episode I was talking, about PSVR versus Oculus. And I went with the Oculus because it was like, I guess the one that it kind of hits the sweet spot price-wise. Although I even have some problems with it so far that I'll get into. But one of the things I love about it is that you don't have to set up any sensors. So it has onboard cameras. I think I might have mentioned it last time. And I have mad room now in my living room, so I push shit out of the way. And it has cameras all over it, so you can see everything around you. It's like you don't have them on. And using the controllers, you can just mark out the play space, like the play area. And then, of course, if you get close to it, the game will sort of put these like little invisible walls in front of you so you can see them, or these little transparent walls. And it's really easy to set up. All it is is the DVI port and then a USB, and that's it. You're good to go.
That's nice. I like there's not a lot of like load bearing. Yeah. Fucking, it's lightweight.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa. Get the fucking... Drift Kings! Wow, live on the show. That was wild.
Someone's running from the cops.
Yo, for real, that's definitely some... Even my cat came out like, yo, you heard that? So I booted it up, and it has like the intro thing that I've already seen before, where like the little robot comes out and shows you all these different things. It looks really good. I definitely noticed the resolution improvement. Like, it looks sharper. Nice. Like, it's less... I mean, you still see the screen door shit, but it's like... It's less apparent than what I remember seeing it on, even on my friend's Vive, like years ago. Remember we went to my boy's house? Actually, he's been on the show, Stan. And it looks a little sharper. It's pretty comfortable from what I've seen so far. And the first few things I got into immediately was I bought Beat Saber. I played Beat Saber in the living room.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of like EDM type shit, but it's mad fun. Like, so I'm sure you've seen Beat Saber by now. I don't really have to explain much to you, but it's a rhythm game. These like cubes come to you. You have to like hit them with your lightsabers in time with the music. You have to like move your body from time to time to shift to avoid these walls. You have to duck sometimes, which is actually pretty annoying. But it was really good. It felt amazing. And like just being in VR with the headphones, although here's the thing that I don't like about the Oculus Rift S so far, is the headphone jack in the headset itself, the audio isn't great. So I think I might switch to the headphone jack directly to my PC.
Computer, yeah.
It's going to be one more cable like that. I might even just like wrap it onto it, because my headphone cable that I have with this like Razer headset that I have is really long. So I think it won't be too much of an issue. But that's a kind of a bummer. I was like, oh, this kind of sucks. Because I even had it using my noise canceling Sony headphones that are like that are beasts, and
it just wasn't hitting.
It was fine, but it was like it sort of felt like you plugged in a nice headset into like the fucking the jack in the seat on the airplane. Yeah. So it kind of feels cheap. It sounds cheap. So I'm gonna do some more experimenting with that. But then I jumped into Tetris Effect, of course, and I did like the demos that come with it, and that was cool, whatever. But Tetris Effect, still incredible. even more so on PC. I was like, holy shit. I was like losing my mind. And then I jumped into No Man's Sky VR. And No Man's Sky VR, it actually worked. I know they released a couple patches. It started off a little rough, like a little hiccupy, to the point where I was like, I need to stop. I'm going to puke.
Oh, no.
But then it like leveled out. It was fine. It was smooth.
Were you sitting?
No, I was standing.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I was like, but you just teleport everywhere. And I was in the Nexus Hub space, and I was walking, but it was crazy to just like look around, and I was like looking at the fucking the dude you have to talk to. I was like looking at him, like he was right in my face.
Yeah.
And then getting into the spaceship, and then like there's a throttle, because even if you play in first person, you can see the throttle and shit, like that you would in VR. So you pull the throttle forward, and then you have your right hand is your joystick. So you like you're in space, you're like moving, like you're flying around. You're like looking around the cockpit, and you can see the computers and stuff up close. Yo, it's fucking crazy.
That's cool.
And even like going into the planet, and like, and it's obviously like a little more low res than it usually is, and it's pretty noticeable sometimes, but as much of a really cool experience as it was, I don't think I'm gonna stick with it as like my main way to play it.
It's just like to show people,
like, yeah, it's like really cool to try every once in a while, or maybe maybe I'll smoke and try it or whatever.
Oh hell yeah. I was just about to ask,
which I definitely did. Yeah. That's how I Tetris Effect was like, oh my god, Beat Saber was blowing my mind. But like I have a rhythm that I like to have when I'm playing No Man's Sky, and it's definitely like that, like half of that, like it's half as fast, and I don't know how long I'll stick with it in that sense, but it's really really cool so far. I'm like really enjoying the VR headset. I got it on Friday, and then I left on Saturday morning, so I didn't really have too much time to spend with it. I just got back a few hours ago, so I'm going to definitely pour some time into it tonight. But please, listeners, tweet at me. Let me know some Discord in Discord too. Give me some recommendations. I might even make a VR channel now because, like, hey, I'm one of them.
One of us.
Send me some recommendations. Noggin finally plays Super Hot, which I'm gonna definitely get.
Super Hot.
Yeah. So it's been a crazy couple of weeks in terms of game stuff. But
that's
then,
awesome.
But speaking of which, we'll talk about the three bigger stories this week. Yakuza 7 was revealed, and it turns out it's a turn-based JRPG. For the PS4, they released like a trailer and some screenshots.
Yeah, I saw.
Did you get a chance to see it?
What the fuck?
It's fucking weird, man.
Why are they being so weird?
I'm all for it, though.
It might be dope. Like,
yeah,
that's the thing. Like, that team is really good. So,
yeah, I have a lot of faith in them, and it's like a new character, a new storyline. I'm really curious to see how that turn-based stuff works out, because I'm kind of getting into more turn-based stuff as of late, especially with things like, you know, like Fire Emblem and now Final Fantasy VIII, like revisiting some old JRPGs. I could see this becoming like a pretty cool direction for the series. And if not, you know, they always have an established formula they can fall back on. I feel like this could be the weird experiment that, even if it doesn't work, would be kind of cool to try. You know?
Yeah, man.
It
looks interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And then our second story for the week. Telltale is being revived, basically, quote unquote, by some people that basically bought the rights to a lot of their properties, and it's such a weird ass story. Like, it sounds fucked up to say, but like, for a studio that made a game on the Walking Dead franchise, like the way that they seem to be like reanimating what Telltale was in some ways, like they're bringing in former employees from what they claim as like freelancers.
So weird.
Which is fucked up and very weird. But it's kind of messed up that they're like, yeah, we're bringing Telltale back, but the people that are bringing it back didn't work there.
They're not.
And the people that did work there are like, yeah, we didn't know about this, and the people that are going there are going to be freelancers. But I don't know, like they said they're going to have the rights to like things like Walking Dead and Batman, I believe, and a couple of other
are people still interested in this stuff?
I don't know. I mean,
my thing
so.
Is like, I feel like the time has came and went for that thing, especially like Walking Dead. Like at the time, it hit perfect.
Yeah,
comic book was at its peak. The show was at its peak. You know.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff like kind of was riding those coattails for a long time. I mean, they tell good stories. I'm not discrediting them in that way, but I just mean like, if they're gonna revitalize this team, studio, like I don't know, I think they should just go in a different kind of direction.
Yeah, it's really weird, man. It feels like they kind of, I don't know. I mean, I liked the few games that I played from Telltale, like the Walking Dead games, and I think I played.
I played the Fairy Tale one. That was good.
Oh yeah. What was that called? Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, like, it's hard to be super super like excited about this news, because it's like, it's very, I don't know, it seems very strange, but
are these people like, excuse me, the people who are going back as freelancers, are they like begrudgingly going back, or is it like,
I don't know, it's gotta feel weird, right? Because you're like,
yeah, I mean, like, if you haven't found work, this is a great
sure
opportunity. It sucks, like, it's like, but I gotta do what I gotta do, you know.
Yeah.
If they're like offering you back, like, hey, we would like you to come back, but
can you imagine you want your same job for like less pay and no benefits?
Man, and that's like, that's the bullshit, right?
That sucks, dude.
But I mean, hopefully it works out for everybody. I mean, I don't see how anybody could really get super excited about it, but
yeah.
It's cool. It's cool that, I mean, some work is being given out.
Yeah, for real.
You know?
This next story is a huge bummer for a variety of reasons,
yeah.
But Alec Holoka, one of the designers from Night in the Woods, passed away this weekend, according to his sister on Twitter. And so I'm taking this from Kotaku. The news comes days after allegations began to circulate against Holoka, as multiple people accuse him of abusive behavior. And so, especially as of late, there's been a huge growing list of accusations towards certain developers, especially within the industry, sort of abusing their power and, sexually assaulting or even manipulating people. And this past weekend, one of those people who got some of those accusations, they passed away. I don't think it's been clear like how, in which way they did, but like, you know, you can sort of draw some sort of so you can take some sort of guess here and there, but
yeah.
It's interesting because it comes in, like I said, in the wake of like the games industry at this moment, at this point in time, at least in the indie space for sure, and some in the bigger space, like the AAA space, making accusations towards people that they say that they claim have sexually assaulted them or taking advantage of their position and stuff like that. So yeah, because there was also another one against the Skyrim composer Jeremy Soule.
Yeah.
There was another one about who was it? There was an Oculus Rift co-founder, surprisingly enough, after talking about the Rift earlier in the show, putting his hand up someone's skirt during a VR demo. So a lot of like bullshit, as usual, happening with men sort of abusing their power. And there seemed to be like this Me Too movement happening, especially within the game space. It's interesting. Like there are even more accusations that we haven't discussed yet, just because like there's still more information to be, discussed and gathered before we could talk about it like on a more public platform like this. Because out of respect for the victims and also, for time to do due diligence and have reporters dig up the facts for sure. But it's a bummer, man. It's a huge, huge bummer. The fact that I don't think anybody was hoping for this outcome, especially in the case of the developer from or the designer from Night in the Woods. And it's unfortunate too that people are sort of taking advantage of this moment to say that so and so was responsible for his death in that way, which
so
I think
stupid.
Is complete bullshit.
Yeah.
Those kind of accusations in particular shouldn't be thrown at, especially at people who are their victims. Like that's not how this shit works.
Right.
But yeah, man, it's been a pretty heavy week for the game space, and I hope to see, I really hope to see people continuing to speak their truth to power, and these people that have been pulling this shit for a long time, they've been doing so because of the fact that they hold this kind of power and this sway over. Careers, like if they were to come forward, they could really do damage to their careers.
It's wild that there's just so much that like video games has to like work through, but it's just so many parallels from like other entertainment businesses.
Totally.
That they're like, you don't expect, in this form of entertainment. But
it's like it's super unfortunate because you're like not surprised either.
Not at all.
Because
right.
Yeah, man, it's fucking. It runs deep, man.
It does run deep. I would have wanted like the truth to come out. It's sad that somebody's dead, but everybody just has to do better. And like, I know it's very hard for like victims to come forward because of shit like the aftermath of this, where they get blamed for coming out and just speaking their truth, or what they think is their truth, so it's just, it's just very hard. You just want to be there for people and you just want to do good shit.
Yeah.
And if you're one of the, if you feel like you're a good person, just keep doing what you're doing. And if you see bullshit, call it out.
I think,
I know it's hard, but I think it's better to call that shit out.
Yeah, that old sort of mentality of like, it's also like,
because it was, like from one of the stories I read last week, when I was on vacation, like I woke up and it was like, there's a couple hours difference, so all the shit kind of hit late.
Yeah.
Or early, I should say. They were talking about like other people knew about this stuff. And people were just kind of like, oh, excusing it and just being like, yo, that's just how that person is. And it was just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, you could stop this. Like, because you're a witness, and...
Yeah. I think it's also extremely important, too, for, like, men in the room to, you know, if like you said, if you see the shit and, you know, you can make some sort of difference or even play your part and make sure that the right thing gets done, you know, like to do so. Because, I mean, I like the reason I say like this shit runs deep is because, like, I mean, I've seen it from people in my past. So, like, mm-hmm. people who have been like, you know, once you, especially with like men in particular, man, like as soon as you get that ounce of power, you're always looking, well, I mean, not you or me, but like,
no,
like scrubs are always looking right. for ways to like
abuse
that power and see how they can leverage it against women in particular. And it's like, it's super fucked up, man. And I think, you know, I'm super in awe of the people coming forth here and, you know, doing what they're doing. And like, man, it's, like you said, like the entertainment industry definitely had its movement. It's still happening, you know. It's still ongoing, and I think it should go without saying. Like, do the right fucking thing. Don't be a scumbag. Like, don't try to take advantage of people or abuse your power or do this kind of shit. Because, like, you know, this shouldn't be the reason why you don't do that. You should be doing that off jump because you're an empathetic human fucking being.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's equally disgusting for people to be utilizing this tragedy as a way to be like, yeah, this person is responsible for his death or whatever. I think that's like complete bullshit. Yeah, just like in general, man, just like do better. Like we always say, just do better. And if you see that shit, call it out. If you can, if there are ways for you to help, if you know, and you can help, do what you can, but like, just look out for each other, be good, be kind. Because man, it's tough. Like, I hate to have to continue talking about this, but I think, like, we're going to have to. And
I think it's important.
It's extremely important.
I think it's important, sure. Especially if we want to make a change and, like, you know, just have, like, a better community around it. Like, shit is just doper when everybody feels comfortable.
Word.
Like, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, just shit just feels dope.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, man. Like, and everyone should feel safe and they should feel comfortable and they shouldn't have their careers, you know, at risk for feeling extremely taken advantage of. All right, cool. So jumping into questions for the week, if you have any questions for us, please feel free to send an email to us directly at questions@the-optional.com. We'd love to hear from you. You can also drop them into our questions channel on our Discord or send us a voice message on the Anchor app by heading over to our Anchor profile, which is the Optional Podcast. So Bo writes in, have you ever had to force yourself to put down a game because it was affecting your personal life? I remember having to pay for 1 month subscriptions at a time to Ragnarok Online to wean myself off of playing it.
Wow, I didn't know that about you.
Because I shouldn't have brought you those 3 months of Ragnarok.
I never really had that problem where it was like kind of affecting. I mean, maybe like my schoolwork. That was probably like it, or like, maybe, I guess, yeah, maybe work. I just wouldn't want to go to work.
But that was
like in my early days, like my college days and stuff.
Yeah.
It was like, man, I really just want to unwind and just like play Left 4 Dead all day.
Oh man.
You know?
The good old days.
But I never really had a problem, like, to be honest, where it was like really affecting me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm similarly, like, I feel like for me, it becomes more of a, like, health thing, where it's like, all right, I shouldn't be playing games right before bed, and I'm starting to, like, now as an adult, be like, all right, like, be smarter about your choices, like, you know, spend some time before bed, like, not looking at a screen, and, like, especially with this carpal tunnel shit that I've been dealing with, like, take it easy, like, don't go super hard with this kind of shit, even after I just finished buying a fucking VR headset where I'm flailing around and shit. But yeah, like, you know, it's never really had too much of a problem. I in general have a pretty good sense of like balance, when to stop, when to, like, you know, pump the brakes a bit. But I mean, occasionally sometimes I have to like stop myself from doing what I did this past Friday, while I'm just making stupid purchasing impulse buys, and stopping myself short and being like, ah, you don't need that yet. And that's kind of what like the past few months have been, of me stopping myself constantly until the time where I was like, I think I'm good, I can finally do this. So yeah, thankfully no real scares just yet. But
Yeah, I think it's like also like maybe like when I used to play a lot of like shooters, like hardcore stuff, like Call of Duty and stuff, like I would get like I would be angry.
Oh yeah, dude.
Like I would be like
furious.
Angry. Like after the fact.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, actually
and like
that's a good point.
Yeah, I remember my mom, like when I was living with my parents, my mom would be like, "Yo, what the fuck?" Like, "Yo, chill the fuck out." Like seriously, she would like, "Yo, you're like different. Like chill." Yeah. Like that type of thing. But that would bring me back though. It would be like, "All right, yeah, I'm letting the game affect me."
Yeah.
I'm
yeah. Yeah, actually you remind me of something now that I'm thinking about it. Or I remember back when I was playing on PS4 especially. Overwatch. I was playing competitively, and I was like so concerned about my rank, and like if I lost, it was like I would like that's the first time Overwatch is the first time I've ever like thrown a controller. I was so fucking pissed that like somebody quit, and then like you know we got rolled over, and that affected my score or whatever. Yeah. This was like a long time ago, so I'm sure things have changed by then. But like, yeah, I remember like. Overwatch was the first time I took a step back and looked at, and like, and since then I've never really played a competitive. I've never gotten into a competitive game like that. Like even when Apex opened up their thing to like, you know, a competitive mode,
still not.
I was like, nah, man. Like I'm playing these games just to chill. Cause I used to be super competitive about that shit. I used to be like, I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be like.
I remember my Halo rank was a big deal.
Yeah, like that shit used to really matter to me. And I, you know, like in some ways, sometimes I'll still get competitive. I can still like have those moments. But I've learned, especially playing with Overwatch, like I don't need that competition. I enjoy the sport, but I don't need the competition. It can be fun to get competitive, but like I remember. It's gotta be
healthy though.
Yeah, I remember like it's just a game, and yeah. Like even when people shit talk me, I'm like I laugh it off because I'm like, well, it don't fucking matter because. My life is awesome otherwise. Yeah, so word. I don't need this. That's a good ass question.
That is a good question.
All right, cool. So jumping into
some dark shit.
Yeah, we're jumping into feeling it. Feeling is where we take one thing that we absolutely love from the past week that we've stumbled across that we think is worth sharing.
Yeah, so I've been watching this show on Amazon Prime called The Boys.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
It's been kind of everywhere. Like yeah. There's been a lot of promotion for it. But basically, it's a show about if superheroes were in the real world, like imagine like New York had all these superheroes, like the Justice League, right? But in a very realistic way, like so there's a lot of collateral damage and they're not great people, they're just people like us, but they are egos, they're gods basically.
Yeah.
So but they are also controlled by these corporations. So imagine if Batman starred in his own Batman movie, like wow. Batman was real, but he was in the Nolan Batman movie.
That's
so
crazy.
Like this is like all these corporations control these people, so it's all about money, it's all about your ratings, it's all about how the superheroes like affect like so they're like, oh, we got to team up for you, you got to go down to Midtown and stop this bank robbery with this other superhero.
Oh wow.
Can you do that? And then like that'll build their rating, and that gives them money so they can like live luxuriously on top of having these powers, these godlike powers. So there's like an Aquaman character, there's this Superman character, he's like the head honcho, there's a Wonder Woman character, there's like this like this invisible dude, and there's a speedster. And like right off the bat, this shit is gory.
Oh yeah.
And realistic, and like it's just like it shows you right in the trailer, but like the speedster runs through a person.
Oh shoot!
By accident.
I always wonder about.
And
that
they
kind
just
of shit.
Explode, and it's just like gore. It's like what the fuck?
Whoa!
But it just shows like the boys is actually about like people who are affected by them, and like they don't like them basically, and it's just like how do we bring them down? But it's really cool. And also, the superheroes can get traded to other cities. Like,
oh, shit.
It's like, yo, your ratings are down. We're going to trade you to, like, Cleveland. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, it's now Cleveland has a superhero. And
holy
it's like,
shit.
So it's, like, always battling. So, like, these speedsters will be like this one speedster, the main guy, he's, like, the fastest man in the world. But there's another guy coming up behind him who's, like, really fast as well. So he has to, like, race him around the track. And
oh, wow.
It's pretty cool. Like, it's just a cool concept. And it's just, like, really good and pretty well acted. And I just like the vibe of the show. And it's really good. It's, like, 8 episodes. And it gets into some really fun hijinks and like it's fucked up. Some of the stuff is just really fucked up, but also it's like, oh man, they going into some really dark shit.
Yeah, I remember hearing about the comic. It's based off of a comic.
I believe so. Yeah. I think they said that in the beginning, but I never read it.
Yeah, I've heard so many mixed things, but I want to check it out.
Yeah, you should definitely check it out. If you have Prime, I mean, just check out the first two episodes. I would give it, you know, give it two episodes, and I liked it a lot, actually. Nice. I can't wait till they do, like, a second season or whatever they can
Word. That's awesome. Yeah, hopefully I'm going to check that out. The Boys.
The Boys.
I've been watching... I also marathoned a show in, like, a week, basically. A season and the four seasons that it's currently on. I see five because I miss Sundays. But it's a show on HBO called Succession. It follows, like, a really wealthy family that lives in New York City. Yeah, it's I've seen ads for
one of the Culkins, right?
Yeah. Okay, the little brother who's amazing in this show. Like, you hate him so much. and I remember watching seeing ads for it all over the city when like the first season was out, and I remember thinking like, I don't want to watch a show about like rich people and like how awful they are. But it is equal parts like biting commentary and like drama, like legit drama, but it's also hysterical. Like it's poking fun at that more than anything.
Right.
And but it still like weaves in a really intricate like power or struggle for power, and it's like Shakespearean level, like Game of Thrones level. It's like it's as if Game of Thrones were to exist now in modern day, in a boardroom, between a family struggling for like, you know, literally like succession, and it is brilliant on so many levels, especially if you're into that kind of like, you know, why capitalism is so awful and like. The impact that, like, I mean, we just had one of the Koch brothers pass away not so long ago. And, like, if you're into that sort of, like, looking into why, you know, someone like Rupert Murdoch is so powerful and, like, those families, like, the decisions that they make are, like, how they impact the world, you know, like, how they impact elections, how they impact, you know, pharmaceutical, like, medical.
Just everyday life. Literally, you can't touch anything without touching something that the Koch brothers are going to get paid for.
Right. 100%.
Like, legit.
Or like, you can't watch anything that, you know, someone high up is going to get paid for. Yeah, it's incredible. And the way they, like, sort of synthesize it and give you examples of, like, you know, like, there's an ongoing, like, media acquisition in that show of, like, this digital media company, and it's a very, like, you know, it could be anybody, it could be, like, Vice, or it could be, like, because, like, everything's made up in the show, so, like, things, it's not, like, one-to-one.
Right.
And they'll make, you know, references to things that actually exist, but, like, for the most part, it's, like, that's the, like, they own the equivalent to, like, Fox News, it's called, like, ATN, and then, like, you know, the company that they're taking over, that's like the Vice GMG equivalent, is like Valter. And it's like all these things, and like, it's weird too, because like, you know, I've been in situations now having worked in digital media where I can see like the parallels to it. And like, you know, you always wonder like, what is it about these suits, these like these rich people that like they failed to empathize and be like, you know, understand that their decisions to make like layoffs or whatever are going to really impact the lives of like everyday people. But watching the show, you can get a sense at least for like why they make these horrible decisions. And like, you know, in some ways you're like, it's weird. You're sort of empathizing with them to a degree, but then you're also like, yeah, they're horrible fucking human beings. And this is why. But it's also, again, like I said, like, it's mocking them in so many different ways. And it's really, really good. I highly recommend it. Like, it's so far, I think it's halfway through its second season. It's on HBO Go. It's also got such an incredible cast. Like, everybody in that cast is incredible. And I want more people to watch it so I can talk to them about it. But, like, man, it's so freaking good.
I've seen it, and it's, like, definitely been on my radar because I like that... Macaulay Culkin's brother.
Yeah, guy. He's so good in the show.
He's like he's the better Culkin.
Yeah, for sure. Ever since the young days, and he was like sipping on Coke or whatever he was.
Pepsi Fuller always pees the bed.
All right, cool. So before we wrap up the show, how can the people find you online?
I'm moving. I'm done.
All right. I'm
going to the mountains.
Nice.
It's where I live now, so catch me in the mountains.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in to the last episode of The Optional.
At Cappy Can't Lose, CappiCantlose on Twitter and Instagram, too.
Nice.
Sometimes I tweet. Sometimes I Instastory. Most of the time, actually. That's what I mainly interact with. What about you, man?
I'm Polymio, Polim as in Mario, A-Y-O. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me on both. I definitely tweet more than I Instagram, although I have been getting a little more active on Instagram.
You've been dabbling and dibbling. I've
been dabbling and dibbling.
What are you doing for Kotaku these days?
More Viewpoints. Definitely check out Viewpoints, yes. Please. Check out Viewpoints. I work really hard on that show, and it doesn't get a lot of love. It's definitely like a passion project.
Is it like, how do you get stuff to like that to like pop?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it all out. Yeah. I mean, it's a mixture of like finding the right topic that's still relevant. YouTube is
really hard.
It's fickle, man. Yeah, it's fickle. I mean, I'm still proud of every episode I do.
Oh, absolutely. It's good. It's a good show.
Thanks, man. Thank you. This past week I had Michael Fahey on, who hasn't been on video for a while now. He was nice enough to be on the show this week. We talked about telling lies in live action video games. And just that kind of stuff. I mean, I stream here and there. I'll probably be streaming twice this week because I'm going to be doing double duty because we're going to have someone out of the office. So I'll be, probably playing something. Let me know what you want to see me play. I'm also thinking about doing more like streaming on my own. Like I've been wanting to play more Tetris and stuff. So let me know if you've been down to see that. I have a Twitch channel that I need to show some love, brush the dust off, and maybe I'll play some like Control or something. But other than that, you can find us on Twitter at @TheOptionalNYC.
Yes.
Our show also is pretty much available everywhere. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Anchor, Spotify. If you like the show, take a minute to rate and review the show on iTunes. So that really helps us.
Oh my god,
that helps
so much.
Super, super helpful. If you want to show your support even more, you can head over to our Anchor profile at anchor.fm/theoptionalpodcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can give us as low as $1 a month. You can also...
Give some money, man.
Yeah, please give us some money. It really does go a long way. Our homepage is theoptionalpodcast.com. That's where you can find the show, share it with your friends. Our show's music is by the one and only Levi Pack.
Shout out to Levi, man.
Yeah, word. You can find him on Twitter at @LeviPack. So until next time, everyone.
Peace.